We're going to welcome in our friend who covers the Duck Hoop Beat for the Register Guard. You can catch his work in the sports pages. Catch up online. Use registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter the handle at @SteveMims_RG. Kind enough to spend some time with us. Mr. Mims, how are you, sir?
Chat with you again.
Sorry, we had you cut off a little bit. How you doing, Stevie?
I'm good, man. It's good to be back with you.
So if you incorporate both teams, Utah and Oregon got their studs back for the game. The fact you finally got to see a competitive game after five straight blowouts, crazy finish, clock issues, substitutions, not only an entertaining game, but for the Ducks, who obviously aspire to so much, that's a pretty important win, no?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought that could have been the where this thing stops. Just Utah's been so good at home, and they've been playing well, and it looked like kind of a game that Oregon might have a hard time. That crowd was really loud, especially early. But, you know, after the game, as some of the coaches were walking out, you could hear them saying, oh, boy, that was kind of ugly, and, you know, we'll take that one. It was sort of like, yeah, it wasn't how you draw it up, but basically I think one of the assistants even said, you know, on Selection Sunday, they're not going to say if they're ugly or pretty. They're just going to say if you want them. So that was that was a big one for them to get, certainly.
Steve, we were kind of kicking this around the studio today. I'm curious about your opinion on it. So the entire world saw what Dylan Brooks did last night. Basically got knocked out by a ghost who happened to be traveling through the Huntsman Center. But something that didn't get as much pub outside of our circle was Brooks kicking the Washington State player in his nether region. On purpose or not, he did it. Which is a worse offense in your eyes?
Well, I think if the kick's intentional, it's got to be that one.
Intent has to matter, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the intent has to be there. If you intentionally kick somebody, that's the worst one. If you didn't, last night was certainly there was some intent behind that one. So I'll take the one that's the most egregious, and I guess the only guy who knows would be Dylan.
Did he get a hard time? Where was it addressed last night? Coaches, players, teammates, anybody telling him that it's too late to get in for this year's Academy Awards?
A little bit. You know, it's one of those things where as I'm watching the game, and you know, it's kind of a late game, so it's on deadline. I didn't, you know, as I saw it and they showed the replay, you realized it, but wasn't really until I got back to the hotel and saw ESPN was on it, you know, that I realized. So we had talked to him, and I was asking him more about, you know, just how he was feeling, if he could go again, you know, kind of his back and forth with the crowd and this and that. And it had kind of slipped my mind. I got to admit, it was something that as the game went on, you know, you're just not thinking about a flop. It's more you're thinking about the things that happened in the game. And then afterwards, you kind of realize that it blew up a little bit more. So we asked, you know, Benson and Bell just kind of about him, you know, in his back and forth and shushing the crowd and, you know, them booing him every time he got it. And that's just sort of, you know, some of it's self-inflicted and some of it's not. But drama seems to follow Dylan Brooks. I don't think you can argue. If you go back to, you know, Duke last year and then, you know, Willie play at the beginning of the year and then the kick to the nether regions and then, you know, another injury when it looked like it could have been a broken foot. He's out for the year and then he comes back a game later and then he flops. It just seems like, like I say, whether some of it's accidental and some of it isn't, there is no doubt that drama tends to follow that guy around.
Good Morning America tweeted about it this morning. That should tell us
yeah,
everything.
And hey, and Dylan was retweeting it a bunch too. You know,
he
it looked
was,
like he
yeah.
probably realized, you know, the best way to address it is just to kind of laugh about it. And, you know, it's nothing. You know, it wasn't like the kick to the groin where there is a controversy. Hey, that could be a dirty play. I think I thought last night was dirty. I think it was just more, you know, kind of laughing at yourself and move on from it.
We're talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. I've been kind of obsessing over the evolution of Jordan Bell, but when you think of his offensive game, particularly as a freshman 2 years ago, seemed like he was limited. He'd score on alley-oops or offensive follows, and now they'll call his number, and he's got an effective low post game. You've literally seen every game. How impressive, be it the work he's put in or productivity-wise, to see where his game has grown.
Yeah, it is impressive. You know, I mean, he was 6-for-8 last night. You know, he had a homestand where he was like 11-for-14. It's like, you know, he's not taking bad shots. You know, if he gets down there, he doesn't have a look, or if he can't get a move, he's passing it out. You know, he's taken a couple of threes, but not many, and he's hit some mid-range jumpers. I guess that's the thing to me, is a guy whose confidence offensively is growing. Sometimes you'll see a guy like that start putting up some shots he shouldn't and kind of be feeling a little bit better about himself. But I think he still knows kind of where his spots are and what his limitations are, and that's why you're seeing that he's being able to be really effective without trying to, to do too much offensively or to take too many shots.
You know, you wrote about it this week. Basically, all season, Pac-12 hierarchy has been Oregon, UCLA, and Arizona in different orders throughout the year. The thought was that Utah would compete. USC, you know, kind of surprised a bunch of people with their play this year, certainly. But the rest of the conference has been pretty awful this year. I think there's no way around that. What are your thoughts on this being a down year for the Pac-12?
I do think so. I think in particular, if you look at teams, you know, 7 through 12, there's not... You know, there have been some years where you got in the Pac-12 tournament and thought, oh, that 10 seed might be able to make a run at it. This year, it's, you know, you can get to maybe USC and Cal and Utah as a second tier, but nothing beyond that. So you really, you know, only got about, you've got six teams that, you know, for the top-level teams, you know, they're just not going to lose to them. And, you know, whether, you know, UCLA, I think, is still up there. You know, they've lost a couple games. The USC one, I think, was a disappointment for them. But for the most part, most of the good teams have just been losing to the teams with them or above them in the standings. So I think there's a clear top three and a pretty clear next three. I'm not sure that next three is real good, and then I don't think that next six is very good at all.
After last season, you know, the status of Dylan Ennis was up in the air. Then he got green-lighted. It seemed everybody I talked to around the program was really excited, but most of us just hadn't seen enough of him. He showed some flashes early this year, but, Steve, as we've gotten deeper into the season, in particular conference play, aside from the Cal game, I mean, how much has this guy elevated his game, and, you know, how important is he to what they're doing right now?
Yeah, particularly give him another outside shooter. You know, Dorsey's been a little bit inconsistent from the outside, and Benson's been hitting a lot, but isn't kind of much in volume. And Ennis has kind of become that guy that you can count on to get you multiple three-pointers a game. And, you know, he can take some deep ones, and he hit a couple big ones last night. And he's also really good at driving to the basket and drawing some contact and getting to the line. So, to be able to score in a few ways that you like from your point guard, you know, to be able to get to the basket and to be able to hit from the outside. So I think it's definitely took him a little while to feel like he was, you know, the confidence that he'd had during his earlier time, but he's definitely going with that now, and I think he's pretty excited that, you know, after passing up a chance to be on the NCAA championship team last year, I think you can see he realizes that he's got a shot now to maybe be back in that boat, and he seems pretty fired up about it.
By the way, I think Casey Benson's shooting like 90% over the last couple of weeks. He's been unbelievable. A guy who's kind of struggled, though, Cavell Bigby-Williams, came into the season touted as the number one JC player in the country. People immediately thought Chris Boucher, kind of expected the world out of him. He has not been able to do much on the floor when given a chance. You correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he played against the Utes. Was it fair?
He was in there. He came in at... You know, right before a media timeout to give Boucher a blow, so we played about a minute.
A minute, see, exactly. So, what I mean, was it fair for us to think he would be a regular contributor this season? Do you think the expectations have sort of shifted to what he can do next season instead of the rest of this year?
Yeah, first off, you guys are obsessed with Cavell Bigby-Williams. Where every time I come on, the Cavell Bigby-Williams question comes up. But
everybody else seems to be playing well, to be fair.
I think at this point, you know, Oregon's got their seven guys they're going with, and they're going to, you know, Cavell will get some minutes like we've seen when somebody's in foul trouble or injured. But, yeah, I think at the most part, he's a guy now that kind of like last night. If they want to, you know, if there's 16 minutes and 45 seconds left at a dead ball, they can put him in there and know that they can give Boucher a couple minutes and bring him right back in after the media timeout. So I think at this point he's just going to fill some roles, fill some minutes, and you probably start to think next year in terms of his full development. But as of this year, I think we want him to be a guy that they can put him in there for a couple of spurts and see if he can block some shots and get some rebounds. And at this point, I don't think you're looking much offensively for him.
Final thought for Steve Mims of the Register Guard, the story you posted on the site and your Twitter account this morning, Ducks yet to win in Boulder under Dana Altman. I mean, it's only 0-4. They played a great game last year. You quoted many of the guys, so they're aware, but safe to say that they really believe what happened in the past, not going to have a role in this one, and they're kind of on a mission to finally get that mountain sweep.
Yeah, and, you know, there's nobody on the team that's played other than the one last year. So for them, you know, it's just a one-game deal. And
right.
And certainly Colorado, you know, those couple of years, you know, one of those times they beat them, Colorado was a top-10 team. And another time it was two unranked teams, and Colorado beat them by one. So it hasn't been any sort of a big domination. It's just kind of the, you know, if you look at Dana Altman's, you know, what he hasn't done in the Pac-12, there isn't much. And kind of the winning at Colorado is one of them now. But, yeah, I mean, it's a deal. They're going to go in there with a ton of confidence tomorrow. I guess the worry would be overconfidence. And maybe Colorado feels a little bit better about itself after finally getting that win. But I don't think this is a team that's going in there on a mission to to get that. You know, I'm sure they'd like to get that sweep, you know, in the same way that, you know, they set the school record for a winning streak, but they haven't made a big deal about that. They just kind of quietly check some things off, knowing that, the real goals are coming later on.
All right. Like I said, you could follow them in the sports pages of Register Guard, registerguard.com. Obviously on Twitter, the handle is SteveMims_RG. My friend, really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. You travel safe, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Good to talk to you.
All right, take it easy.